Agencies obligated more than $18 billion in spending against the Alliant government-wide acquisition contract for IT services over the last 5 years, and one vendor got more than 10% of that revenue. In the latest edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller writes about the winners under Alliant and other interesting trends, and he joins me now to discuss his work. The big winner under... I wish I had one of those timpanis, you know, fanfare. The big winner under Alliant over the last 5 years is
SAIC. Now, this is impressive. They've gotten more than $1.6 billion, that's with a B, dollars under the Alliant contract. Now, remember, we're talking about $18.7 billion has been obligated under the contract since March 2009, and SAIC has been the biggest winner. The second place person, according to some data that just kind of came about from GovTribe, who is a market research firm, they were next closest was from Booz Allen Hamilton at $720 million. So as you can see, that's a pretty big difference between $1.6 billion and $720 million. Now, this is not – what's surprising about this is not so much that it's SAIC, but how much they won, and the fact is how much agencies are using Alliant. I mean, this has been, without a doubt, one of the most popular and successful government-wide acquisition contracts over the last 5 or 6 years. But it's also showing, I think, Francis, a bigger problem with the proliferation of government-wide contracts or multiple award contracts, as they're called, GWACs and MACs. We can get into the specifics another time. But basically, there's too many of these. And the reason why I'm saying that is not because SAIC has won, is because SAIC also has won, again, according to GovTribe, a big State Department contract that was worth $2.5 billion and some DHS contracts that are worth, you know, many hundreds of millions of dollars. And you can see they're bidding on all of these contracts, which limits subcontracts to other people, but it also limits not just competition, but how many times can a vendor bid on something else? And I think this just, again, shows the challenges with the government-wide acquisition environment.
One of the things will be interesting to watch about this is what they're able to deliver on all of this work. You know, how much can you plus up? How much capacity can you build in order to execute on all of these contracts, Jason?
I think you're absolutely right. And a lot of this, remember, all this is IT services, which would be one thing if it was like professional engineering or if it was, for instance, you know, travel. But this is all IT services. And the point of Alliant initially was the be-all, end-all. We could make sure all your needs are satisfied under Alliant, mm-hmm. So there's no reason to have another government-wide acquisition contract. Well, you know, what happens is agencies say, well, okay, I could use Alliant, but I could also build my own, and I don't have to pay a fee to GSA. And the costs to build my own are really sunk costs in many ways, so I'll just build my own. And I think what the end result here, Francis, is the Office of Federal Procurement Policy really needs to do something about this proliferation of multiple work contracts, because this business case, if you remember when Dan Gordon was the administrator of OFPP, one of the things he instituted was a business case analysis. You had to submit one, everyone could respond to it, and then if someone stepped in and said, no, you're duplicating my efforts, maybe somebody would say, okay, maybe I won't do it. But I don't think the business case process is working well.
Another element of that I think it will be interesting to watch is if I'm another company somewhere on the 66 corridor and I look at these numbers and I know anybody that's in business development at SAIC or proposal writers or any of that, I'm going to call them up and see if they want a job. I mean, if I'm SAIC, I want to try to buck up my HR team to make sure that all of those people stay on board if they've proven that they're good at winning contracts.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that we as a community tend to overlook is how much people change jobs and how many they're being cherry-picked from one to the other. Mm-hmm. You always hear about the government going, you know, from the revolving door from government to industry, but we rarely talk about the industry-to-industry revolving door. I mean, Francis, how many people do we go out to events and say, oh, when did you change jobs?
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I got a better opportunity. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, sometimes that's their own fault for not meeting goals. But sometimes it's, well, that's a really good person. We better take him or her over.
And I think my observation, especially in the last 2 years, is that it's more the latter than the former. It's more companies saying, this person's got talent and I need to build my bottom line. So I'm going to pay a little bit extra and lure him over if I have to.
I think you're right, because as you've seen, you know, we were talking about the budget a lot this week. Mm-hmm. The IT budget's $86.4 billion. That's the request for 2016. If you see the trend line, it's been up, 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 not to a great extent, but more people are, you know, there's more IT money out there, and more IT services, you know, are bigger than IT products. So I think you're right in that sense that, you know, it's usually people are being picked for their success and not looking for jobs because of their failures.
Our Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller with the latest edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook. You're writing about some movements in the CIO community. I want to ask you about those in a second, but before we leave Alliant, what is the status of Alliant 2? That, I think, was supposed to be somewhere on the radar screen by now.
It is absolutely supposed to be on the radar screen. And what was interesting was very quietly, GSA extended the Alliant contract and the Alliant small business contract for 5 more years. So this happened actually last April, so almost a year ago. And I don't remember ever hearing about it or people talking about it. But basically, Alliant now is open for business through April 30th, 2019, which gives GSA plenty of time to get the Alliant 2 contract in the works. Now, the latest of Alliant 2 is as of December, GSA says they expect to issue a draft RFP in March, a second draft RFP sometime between May and August once they kind of get some industry feedback, and a final RFP in the October-November timeframe, which then would probably mean award sometime in, you know, April-May timeframe of 2016, and then they got to deal with the protests and everything else that goes with it. So Alliant 2, this would be a big year for that contract.
Just about 30 seconds left. Tell me about the movement that you're seeing in the CIO community this week, Jason.
Well, this goes back to the story that I did a couple weeks ago where we looked at the CIO movement across the board.
Yes.
This time it's the Federal Trade Commission. CIO Bajinder Pal took a new job with the Federal Reserve Bank, and that creates an opening there. And then over at DISA, we were the first to report that Mark Orndorff is retiring. Well, now we also are the first to report that we know that John Hickey is taking over for Mark Orndorff, both as the Enterprise Risk Management and the Chief Information Officer. And last one is offer this up. Secret Service is looking for a CIO. So if you're a CIO or a deputy looking for a new job, Secret Service may have your opening.
All right. You also have details, although we don't have time to talk about them, on an interesting request for information from the Federal Highway Administration inside the Reporter's Notebook. And it's always great to have you on. I love this feature that you do every couple of weeks, Jason. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.